Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience, and welcome to the Carpe Diem Living with Intent show with your hosts, King and Willis. How are you doing today, Willis?
I'm doing great, King. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fabulous. You know, it's a great day here in the D.C. area. You know, we've been able to come away from the weather that we had last week, the snow, and we're actually at about 45 degrees, so it's fantastic weather out there.
Absolutely. That's great news.
You know, and I'm very excited to introduce our listening audience to our show. I know we got a great show planned for them today, which is going to keep in context with our theme about living with intent, carpe diem. And so, Willis, why don't you introduce our listening audience to our guest?
I'd love to, King. Our guest today is Mr. Cyrus Webb. And I actually had a great pleasure of being interviewed and featured in Mr. Webb's magazine some time back, Conversations Magazine, which he is the founder and editor-in-chief in. Cyrus, he's the president of Conversations Media Group, which is home of Conversations Live Radio, Conversations Magazine, and Conversations Book Club, and also plays a big role of Shadow Play Entertainment. Since 1999, he has used his love of the arts and books to create a brand that has not only showcased his own work, but that of others around the United States. To date, he has hosted hundreds of art shows and poetry readings around the South, garnering thousands of attendees and a devoted following. In 2003, he began hosting and producing the radio show Conversations Live on WMPR 90.1 FM. That's in Jackson, Mississippi. Today it is heard not only in the South on Mississippi's WYAD 94.1 FM, but online through www.blogtalk.com, which is a branch of several media outlets that Mr. Webb partakes in with his enterprise. Millions tune into the program, which features authors, recording artists, community leaders, and ordinary individuals doing extraordinary things. Because of the hundreds of interviews he conducts each year, Webb began Conversations Magazine in April 2006 as another platform to showcase some of the then, the print magazine, has grown to include over 12,000 yearly subscribers. The United States, New Zealand, Australia, United Kingdom, South Africa, Greece, and Canada. Conversations Book Club joined the Conversations family in November, featuring both in-person and online meetings. It has grown into one of the largest co-ed reading groups in the entire United States, hosting over 200 author events and gaining national attention. Outside of his work with Conversations, in November 2014, Webb's first inspirational book, Words I Choose to Live By, which I have had the pleasure of reading, table of contents and started browsing, which I encourage you all to pick up. It's a very inspiring piece of work. It's published by Bonita and Hodge Publishing. His first children's book, AJ and the Talent Show, that he co-wrote with author Herschel Dixon, was released February 5th. At this time, my radio audience, I would like to introduce you to a very dynamic individual, one who inspires me. I keep up with him on a daily basis with just some of his writing, reading, and also his progression of his enterprise, which is doing great things. I would like to introduce Mr. Cyrus Webb.
Hey, thank you so much for that, Willis. And Kane, thank you so much for the opportunity. Really appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you for being here, Cyrus, as well. Definitely welcome to Part Per Diem, Living With Intent. And Willis, thank you for introducing Cyrus to our listening audience. You know, Cyrus, I want to begin by first saying that I had a chance to do a little research about you prior to the show, went to your radio blog show, saw some of your magazines that you've published, some of the covers and topics you've done. You know, and one particular interview that really stood out with me that you had on your show that I just really wanted to call attention to, because she was someone who I've been a huge fan of ever since she came out, with Karen White, and the Superwoman.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed with the interview because, you know, it gave me a chance to hear that personal side of Karen that I didn't really hear, and really hear that her business actually made a business sense. So I'm definitely glad to have you on the show.
Yeah, that interview with Karen, man, it was a special one for me, too. I didn't realize until I was prepping for that show how much she was doing outside of music. So it was great that she was able to bring that up, including, of course, you know, being a mom. So, yeah, that was a great one for me, too.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the things I really want to do as we get into our questions, you know, the Carpe Diem Living With Intent show is really about two key mantras. Willis's mantra, carpe diem, do it now, seize the moment, and my mantra of living with intent. So we combine our mantras into a show that really encapsulates how we believe that a person should really view their life. You know, and my thing is, you should have a purpose in your life and follow his mantra, seize the moment and live it to the fullest and pursue it. And so you being a guest on our show, you're doing that, and that's one of the reasons why we want to have you on our show, because your track record, your success in your business has been definitely a great way of showcasing how you're doing that. So let's begin by asking the first question, which is, what is your purpose in life?
You know, I really believe, King, my purpose is to show up. To really to show up and to be the best person that I'm meant to be. You know, I used to think that meant being like somebody else or doing something like someone else, but I realize now for myself, purpose is really about just being the best Cyrus I can be. You know, whatever that is, using the gifts that my Creator has given me to be able to not only to let him be seen through what I do, but also to inspire other people to let them know that they can do the same thing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Now, in addition to that, to keep yourself consistent, at least I found this out from my research and within my life as well, that in order to live my purpose, I have to have a value structure or a set of principles that kind of govern my life. And
yes.
So within that, I'd like to ask you, would you mind sharing with us what are your core principles that help you govern your life by?
You know, one of the main ones I actually learned from my grandmother, who I lost last year, and she said something to me that I received early on, and she told me when I was young, when I was 7, and it's so funny because we reflected on this conversation over the last 30 years, that, you know, that anything is possible if you're willing to do the work. You know, I've never been a person that's kind of sat back and waited on other people to give me anything. You know, I've always known that, you know, if it was meant for me, it was my duty to be able to, you know, as I mentioned earlier, to show up, but also to do the work. You know, the other thing, King, though, I actually learned from my art teacher in high school back in 1993, and she and I have talked about this. We actually reconnected with each other on Facebook, and she wrote something in my journal, in my yearbook, actually, that year, in 1993, my junior year in high school, and she wrote that I was greatness in the works. And when I thought about what that meant, you know, that, you know, I think we all want to be the best of ourselves, and I think that's what she saw in me at that point. So for me, that's really what I really believe, you know, is kind of what I try to live by, is that every day, you know, to be the best of me. And to realize that by doing that, that's the best. That's the greatness that's expected. I'm never going to be perfect. None of us will be. But I think, you know, to be able to strive for the best of ourselves, I think that is the thing that all of us can do. And if we do that, then we all will be successful in whatever form that might be in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think those are wise words that you just shared there. I think that That's definitely one of the, you know, I like to point out things within our show. I call it nuggets of information that our listening audience can take home and have like a little slogan or a quote they can use. And I definitely think that's one of the nuggets that can definitely take away with them. You know, it's funny how that wisdom always comes from the folks who are elders and folks we respect. It's that wisdom that helps us grow and develop into the people that we're striving to become. Now,
I agree.
In line with what you do, and as far as your being a magazine publisher, being a successful business person, what would you say are the habits and daily rituals that keep you focused and engaged and living your purpose?
Yeah, I love that question. And, you know, I think one of the main ones is, for me, King, is to never stop learning. I think, you know, I've been able to experience some success on the radio with a magazine and stuff. But, you know, I think if I get to a place where I think I've mastered it, I think that's when I'm in trouble. I think that the key to the brand continuing to grow is that I'm always looking for ways to become better. I'm always looking for smarter people to be around so that I can, you know, to learn. And I think, you know, that's the thing for all of us. We have to surround ourselves with people that are where we want to be, you know, or higher. And I think, you know, if we do, you know, do the opposite and, you know, we're around people that are not, you know, dreamers or people that are not going after their vision, we do ourselves and our brand a disservice. So that's really been my key, whether it's online or even in person. You know, I make sure that I'm surrounding myself with people that are going to push me, you know, going to propel me forward and that are willing to see me go further. And I think, you know, if I'm able to do that, I think I'll continue to be successful and I think other people will be too.
I agree. I agree.
That's beautiful, Cyrus. That's beautiful.
Yes, it is. You know, and as you were saying that, you know, that one of the things that really I would say that keeps me focused is that we have to constantly continue to pursue wisdom, to continue
right.
to grow, to continue to learn. And it's that quest, you know, and I share this with you on which you just shared because I'm reading Reid Hoffman's book, The Startup of You. And Reid Hoffman is the founder of LinkedIn. He said one thing that he learned from folks like Jeff Bezos, who's the founder of Amazon, is that they say they stay in beta mode. You know, he said every year, you know, Amazon's been in business for 11 years. So he begins every stockholder meeting with, right now we're still in beta mode. Because he says what that means is that they have not defined exactly what Amazon is going to do or become. They're still evolving. And, you know, as long as you're constantly changing, you realize that you're always evolving and that you're seeking knowledge and information. So I think that's definitely powerful in that concept.
Yeah.
Now,
and I
how
think
did
I'll,
you get started? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you know, and I think we have to stop being afraid of other people being successful too, King. I think, you know, I think that's probably one of the biggest disservices that anybody in a business or pursuing a brand does is that you begrudge someone else because what they're doing is working. I think we have to be willing to not only celebrate that, but also not be afraid to say, okay, how are you doing that? You know, will you, I mean, I don't want you to give it to me, but you know, but what advice do you have for me that could help me move forward? I think those are the kind of things that also will help us in growing, not being afraid to ask.
Absolutely.
Right. That's right. We get a lot of the competition that goes on, Cyrus, and
yeah.
We help each other to a certain extent, and like you said, when we see something begin to work or someone getting attention or credit for things they do, you know, we tend to sabotage or stray away from what we engaged in, such as partnerships and the relationships and the way they were supposed to initially evolve.
Right.
And you're absolutely right. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I just want to add to that you know, I think that we should definitely, one, two, in a position to teach. You know, Maya Angelou once said, when you learn, teach.
Right.
When you get, give. You know, so you're constantly, you know, following within a universal pattern of I'm receiving, but at the same time I'm giving. You know, and I think that one of the things that folks, I think the two-way street that, you know, as a more senior or a more mature person in a particular business, if you're willing to teach, that's one aspect. But I also think folks need to be humble enough to realize that their minds have to be fertile enough to receive the information that you're teaching. And don't let their egos get in the way and recognize that this is someone I can learn from and receive that the teaching that you're giving as well. I think that's also important.
Right. Totally agree.
Now, as we talk about sharing information and wisdom and knowledge, this is a great segue into the next question, which is how did you get started in your, and I call it the content delivery business, only as a way to sum it up. So I know that you're in the magazines, you have books, you have audio, so I call it a content, so or media. How did you get started in that particular business?
You know, I honestly had no intention of doing any of this stuff that I'm doing today. I mean, I wish I could say it was my goal growing up. It was not at all. I, you know, at my core, I'm an artist, and I was known here in Mississippi for my visual art shows and my poetry. That was my thing, and that's what I always thought would be my thing. What happened, though, was I got a chance at one of my events to meet Charles Evers, which King, I think, as you know, is the owner of WNPR 90.1 in Jackson. He's Megger Evers' brother. And he was talking. I always give a presentation when I'm doing my art shows. And he says, "You have a nice voice. Have you ever thought about doing radio?" And I said, "No, I hadn't thought about doing radio." You know, and so he said, "You ought to think about it." He says, "I have the station there, you know, and I would be willing, you know, to carry your show." It was just like that. It was 2003, had no intention of doing anything like that. So I then, of course, got into the particulars, and the way his station works is by underwriters. And so I thought, well, am I going to even be able to, you know, I don't know how artsy, you know, the people who listen to this station will be. Am I going to be able to even get, you know, underwriters for this? But I was willing to take the chance. And we began in July 2003, and that was it. I mean, the first episode was a disaster, which you would expect it because I had no idea what I was doing. But the funny thing happened. I was trying to make it about me. What he had envisioned was a talk show where I would give my opinion and people would call in. And they even had a name, the Cyrus Webb Show. And I laugh about this now because the first 10 minutes, absolutely nobody called in because nobody knew who I was, and so I was there just kind of stumbling along trying to talk about what I thought was going to be the vision for the show, but I really didn't know what the vision for the show was. And finally, the producer told me, "We have a caller." So I was so excited. We took the caller, and guys, this is the thing that really changed my life. The caller was an artist I had done an art show with in Biloxi. I hadn't even done my research. I didn't even know the station was heard in Biloxi, Mississippi. But she was listening to the show, and she wanted to congratulate me. And something inside of me said, ask her to tell her about, you know, tell us about herself. So I said to her, "Angela," and she and I talk about this to this day, "you know, since we have you here, for those who don't know you, why don't you tell them about the work that you do?" And guys, as soon as she started talking, I knew at that point that's what I was supposed to be doing. It wasn't about me and what I was doing and what my thoughts were. It was about showcasing other people. And it was called the Cyrus Webb Show for probably the rest of July, but by August 2003, it became Conversations Live. And here we are now going into our 12th year.
Wow.
That's amazing, Cyrus. That is. I wanted to ask you a question, Cyrus.
Yeah.
You were speaking at the beginning of the show, and you spoke just in regards to finding yourself and learning that you need to be yourself and not anyone else and master yourself. And as I spoke, and King knows, I speak very highly of you, and I've followed you for some time, and definitely in your progress and the amazing things that you've done. What was it that turned your leaf over that made you go head on and just kind of build your brand? And you know, we all have negative self-talk and things
right.
and such that we have to master throughout our time, and also people and, you know, our upbringings or what's expected of us. What geared you in your heart and in your mind to expect these great things of yourself and not just what others were expecting of you or what history has kind of repeated through us throughout generations?
You know, I think, Willis, for me, the thing about that has been that, you know, I, for the longest time, I thought that where I lived in Mississippi was going to define the person I was and would become. And so none of my immediate family had ever really done anything outside of the state. They're not public people. They definitely don't seek the spotlight. And I wasn't. I was a very shy kid, and still very shy, to be honest with you. So, you know, the path that I have taken is so different than what they would have expected that they didn't even think was possible. As much as they loved me, they thought I was crazy. You know, I mean, they didn't understand it. But, you know, I think the thing that got me was I realized early on, as I mentioned, you know, my grandmother, I mentioned my art teacher, that I was given something, and I was given it for a reason. And I think the worst thing I would want to do is to come to the end of my life and say, I wish I had done, or I wish I had pursued, or I wish I had used that. Because I meet so many people, and I'm sure the two of you do as well, who say, well, you know what, years ago I used to do that, or, you know, when I thought about doing that. I never wanted to be that guy. And because I didn't want to be that guy, I said, you know what, I'm going to do whatever it takes to use this. Maybe I'll never be seen outside my house, but at least I'm going to use it, because unless we use it, we never know how far our creator will take it. And I think that's the whole thing about all of us having talent. It's all about, you know, how far we're willing to go with it.
Absolutely. You know, I often say that to me, it comes down to two main things. It's having a plan, and then the next step is having faith. You know, and your faith is what's going to determine, you know, and again, to quote Martin Luther King, he says that faith is knowing that to continue stepping up when you don't see the next step. You just have faith that the step is going to be there, and you're going to have, you know, you're going to be able to support yourself and continue to keep going. You know, and I think your story is definitely a strong case for implementing faith and just following through on your passion. And that's why you're such a great host, I'm sorry, a great guest for this show, because you embody what this show is really all about, which is the carpe diem, living with intent. You know, and one of the questions I want to ask you that I'm very curious about, and kind of piggybacking on what we were saying earlier about how to get started, because not only were you able to get started, which is one thing in business that a lot of folks can't do beyond that, you know, take an idea and put it into action, but you've been very successful with getting some of the most notable known celebrities and business minds to come on your show or to be interviewed in your magazine. And so I just kind of wanted you to share with the listening audience, how did you go about doing that? Is there a certain technique, or is that just really because of your personality and your connections? So how were you able to get those type of quality folks to come on your show and be part of your magazine?
You know, I have, I wondered that sometimes myself, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, and I mean that honestly, because the truth is, my story is all about faith. I have no college education, no formal training in broadcasting, no business classes. I mean, nothing about my journey makes sense to the outsider. But I think what people pick up on, and I think the thing that has gotten especially my guests, is the passion that I have for what I do. And I think passion definitely will take us a long way. And I have nothing against education. I think education is a great thing. But I also think it all goes back to what we were saying about intent, because, you know, I know a lot of people who have, you know, a lot of education, but they're not doing anything with it. I have, as I said earlier, made it a point that what I had, I was going to do the most with, and that's what I kind of bring with me. But I want to say this, King, about that question, too, about the guest, because one thing I've gotten over quickly is the fear of no, because the fear of no will keep us from moving forward, you know, and I think, and the answer may end up being yes, and for me, most of the time it is, but I think so many times we say, well, I'll never be able to get that person, or I'll never be able to do that, and we talk ourselves out of our success, out of, you know, out of our reward, and that's what I did. I learned very early, they can only say one or two things, yes or no, you know, right. And if they say no, I'm still going to be living, you know, so, I mean, but if you never ask, you'll never know. And one of the biggest interviews that I've had, and it's so interesting because now she's been on the show four times and we featured her in the magazine twice, and that's Dionne Warwick. You know, I never thought in my life I would be able to interview Dionne Warwick. She's a legend. Mm. But yeah. It was so interesting. I got these email blasts that go out, and I reached out to the people, and I started off actually talking myself out of it And it's funny talking, you know, thinking about it now, but I said, you don't know me. You probably get these all the time. You probably won't say yes, but I thought, I mean, and I look at that and say, what was I thinking? I wouldn't have given me the interview. You know, but they were willing to get past all of my clumsiness and to actually go and listen to some of my shows on the link, and that's what made them say yes. And now she's been on the show 4 times, and like I said, in our magazine, and she even sent me her last CD, actually sent me an autographed copy of her CD, and then endorsed my new book, Words I Choose to Live
Amazing.
By. So, I mean,
Amazing.
So if I had just said, even though I still screwed it up, but if I just said, well, I never get her, and just left it alone, you know, I mean, I never would have experienced those blessings. And so I think that's it. I mean, I got over the fear of no, and I just let my gift guide me, because I know I've been given something. And I believe people will see that, and I think that's what's been the key. And people talk about it. I mean, Lisa Gibbons, who won Celebrity Apprentice, she endorsed my book as well. And she said, you know, to me when I interviewed her, she said, Cyrus, believe it or not, people talk about you here all the time. She said, and I can see why. She says, you're good. And just her saying that, being Lisa Gibbons, I'm like, I'm just a country boy from Mississippi, you know. I mean, but I think that's the thing. You know, getting over that, though, has been the key for me, man, and I think that will continue to be it for me.
You know, I think that's very powerful. Thanks for sharing, because you're absolutely right. You know, Dionne Warwick is a legend. You know, you get a chance, and if you've heard multiple times for her to endorse your book, that just really speaks miles to the fact that, you know, your character. And see, in my line of work, you know, I consider myself a conscious capitalist in the context that I care about what I bring to the marketplace. I'm mindful of what I produce brings a solution to my clients. And so I'm very mindful of that. But that kind of thinking is really character-based. You can only move as far as your character allows you to move, your track record, what you've done. And so to have folks who you interview and then come back and repeat on your show, and then, like I said, also endorse your book, I think that speaks miles to your character.
But I tell you, fear is a killer, man. I mean, it really is. And I've been guilty of it. Like I said, you know, but then I realized, hey, I mean, no is not going to kill you. But not knowing will, because you don't want to have that regret. Oh, I wish I had. And now, you know, I reach out to people. You know, I've, you know, reached out to, you know, some of the cast members from Scandal several times. And if they're listening, I'll still keep reaching out. But you know, the answer is always not right now. And it's never really just no, it's not right now. And so for me, that means, okay, I'll keep trying. I mean, so that's my thing, man, and that's the philosophy I use these days.
Yes. You're listening to the Carpe Diem Living with Intent show with King and Willis, featuring our guest today, Cyrus Webb of Conversation Magazine. And now we want to open up our phone lines to a caller. We have Charles calling in from Florida who wants to join the discussion. Welcome to the show, Charles.
Good afternoon, King. It's a great pleasure to speak with you, especially with Willis and Cyrus. A real pleasure to meet you all. Thank you for having me on today.
Thank you for being here. Did you have a question that you want to ask Cyrus?
Yes, absolutely.
Or
thank you, Charles.
Thank you.
I just have to point out, I was listening as the introduction was done, and of course, as Cyrus discussed, his opportunity when he first was able to go onto NPR and to have that opportunity and that platform to really demonstrate his skill sets and most importantly bring his vision to reality. And, you know, I've talked about this before with other associates. You know, it's the opportunity that you had, Cyrus, is phenomenal, and I tell you why. Because in my years of business, and I'm sure, you know, King, you feel the same. I bet you will as well. Well, Willis, we know when it comes to an opportunity, in most cases, we get one chance.
Yeah.
And if that chance is not 100% spot on, we're done. Meanwhile, other groups will get 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 chances. The beauty of what Cyrus went through was, and I didn't know that Medgar Evers' brother was in charge of NPR. Was it is it in Texas, Cyrus? Or
Mississippi? Here in Mississippi, yeah.
Okay. And for him to go out and have the decision-making hiring capacity, ability, to handpick this young brother and say, yes, I want you. And then, and Cyrus, I'm glad you're being honest and candid about it. Your first show was a disaster. You knew it was, you know. And it, and I'm sure Mr. Rager said, you know, normally it would have been, that's it, you're done. But no, he says, no, I want this young man to keep coming back until he gets it right. And that's the beauty of having us in these positions, that are real decision-making positions, and going out and choosing someone that we know has the skill sets, they have the abilities, they have the desire, and to say, we're going to make this person or allow this person to really flourish and bloom in this position. And this is just a great testament to that.
Yeah.
And that's the sort of thing I think that if we could duplicate that in other industries, you know, our stock, our ability to hire, decisions to bring the right folks on, to keep in those positions until they get it right, would just be tremendous. So I just want to give you kudos for that, because that was a great story to hear. Fantastic.
I appreciate that. Yeah, and it was a great opportunity. And, yeah. And I tell people that all the time, you know, when I'm talking about how this all began, because it has not been perfect. And I think that's the thing that first show was. And I think, too, you know, guys, I think you'd agree with this, I should have known more. I really did. I went into this because he said you'd be good. I didn't know anything about how far their reach was. I didn't know if they – I mean, I knew nothing, you know, about them. Other than he thought I'd be good at this, you know. And so, you know, once I was able to figure out what I was supposed to do, I think then I was able to use it better to my advantage and bring the best of me to it. But, you know, it really was. I think that first show also, it also keeps the ego in check, because it lets you know that you're not going to go into every situation and own it. I mean, you have to be willing to pay your dues.
Right. And I'll tell you something else. It really, and I'm sure we've all heard this adage growing up, you have to be twice as good to get in.
Yeah.
And that's an insult to those who are just good. But in this case, you went in as you were, and you moved into it. And I'm sort of happy it wasn't a great experience the first time, because that allowed Brother Edgar Evers to say, you know what, I don't care at this point. This is my guy. He's going to grow into it. He has the potential to be really great at it, and we'll let him grow. And I've seen it with other folks, with their culture, how they'll give the person the time, they'll groom them, they'll work with them, they'll
That's right.
mentor them
That's right.
until they're
That's
ready.
Right.
And we
right.
don't have that opportunity, but this is just a great thing. And I hope you understand my enthusiasm, Cyrus, because I say you just don't see that,
right?
Especially with our folks. Because there's a thumb above him, and he's got the pressure. Well, you brought in your one friend. He didn't work out that well. I told you it wouldn't work. Let's go ahead. You know, let's bring in Vinny now. You know, and that's a problem.
Yeah.
But it's just rare and wonderful to see that after that situation. So absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah.
That's a great point, Charles. That's a great point. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, one thing I want to add to that, too, again, you know, I have to go back to the term white interview, because primarily, like I said, that really, you know, I grew up being a huge fan of her, definitely for her singing. I think the song Superwoman was definitely a very powerful song. But you were able to bring out a conversation with her that was not so, I mean, that was so different than any other interview I may have read about it. You got a chance to talk about her business knowledge,
right.
The way she views business. And that, to me, is where I believe that what's lacking from all the other talk shows that I've heard, I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but from the ones I've been exposed to, is that people bring celebrities on their shows and they kind of celebrity worship.
Right.
And I'm not so much interested in hearing a TMZ of the interview of a celebrity. I want to find out what it is they do in order for them to get to where they are. What got them out of bed? Find out how they are normal, everyday folks that's making different decisions to help them be successful in their lives. And that's mainly the difference between them and everyone else, is that
right.
they're following through on their decisions where other folks think about it and then quickly talk themselves out of it.
Yeah, so true. So true. And I'm glad that you picked that up on that. You know, and that's really something I try to do with all of them. I think, you know, and I tell people this all the time. I'm so honored to have spoken to some of the people I've been able to speak to and to have the opportunity to feature them. But I think is that connection that we feel. A perfect example, if you don't mind my sharing, I just this morning, I interviewed Michael Welch, who is the officer, for those who watch Scandal, who played Officer Newton in the recent episode of Scandal. It got in Kerry Washington's face and was talking to her about, you know, this is the problem with you people and, you know, and not having the respect of police. And it was so interesting. And he reached out to me the day that that episode aired and said, I want you to be the guy to interview me. Because I had interviewed him, he's actually a star of another program on sci-fi called Z Nation, and he said, you know, it was the best interview he'd had and that kind of thing. So he knew it was a hot-button issue, and he said, you know, I know you'll do right by me. And it's so funny, during this conversation while we've been talking, he just tweeted out that I got him to go, you know, deeper than he, you know, had planned on going. And I think that's really, I mean, my trying to let the gift work. It's not so much about what I, you know, look at me, but I think it's, you know, what will people get from this that will make them look at this person and look at this situation differently. And that's what I hope all of them, I want to humanize people because we're all humans. And it's so funny because Michael even said in the interview, he's like, you know, that officer's still a human. You know, he may have made a bad choice, but he's still a human being. And we all make bad choices. And so I think that if I'm able to do that, I think that is, to me, a success. You know, it's not so much the listeners or that kind of thing. I think if people can trust me to share that story, you know, that to me is what makes it a success.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Cyrus, I have another question for this. Is still Charles from Florida.
Okay.
I sort of want to look at the from the business perspective, the nuts and bolts of how you went through this process of what came first. Was it NPR first, the magazine conversations, your art form? Was that in development at the same time? How did this all gel together so you basically have a trifecta of,
right.
Of opportunities here? How did this all gel together for you?
Well, Charles, it was the art. The art was the kickoff. That was my first in my independent business. That was my first moneymaker. Was the art. I had no intent, and this is to show you again how greedy I was. I had no idea that I was going to be even make money in radio, because when I was given the opportunity again, I mean, again, I went into it not really understanding, you know, it. And so in some ways, though, I think that benefited me because I didn't go into it thinking I was going to make all this money and everyone was going to come to me and all of that just because I was an artist that had gotten some attention. So, you know, the WNPR was the first radio affiliate that I was with, and that was in July 2003. But the word spread as Conversations Live grew, and I think, again, because I took the focus off of me. And the next thing you know, that's when I started my relationship with the major publishers. They heard about my show because I didn't even know at the time, but WNPR is heard in Mississippi, Alabama, parts of Louisiana, and even Arkansas. And so I was hearing from, you know, from Simon & Schuster, and that's how they all start working with me in 2003. And, they, you know, we've been working together ever since. And they're like, hey, we have a New York Times bestselling author coming through Jackson. You know, would you like to interview them? Would I like to interview them? I mean, really? You know, I mean, so that then brought up then, you know, that got the attention of some other folks. So in 2004, I was offered a television spot to bring Conversations Live to television on our ABC affiliate, which is WAPT, who I still have a great relationship with. And it was a Sunday morning program, and they're like, okay, you know.
Nice.
I mean, so it was just so surreal because then 2 years after that, I had all these interviews and I had all these transcripts of the radio show. And I was like, people would ask me, where can I find that interview that you did with Carl Weber? And I was like, well, there wasn't a place because WNPR doesn't archive their shows. And, of course, the television station at that time did not use YouTube to do it. So I said, you know what? I have the transcripts. How about I start a publication? And that's how Conversations Magazine came about.
Incredible.
Because I had all these interviews that I'd done, you know.
And you had the concept.
Yeah, exactly. And so it was just about putting them together, finding advertisers that were willing to, you know, so that's the only part of it that gets to be work for me because, you know, I have to think about every month, okay, who's going to get the most attention from the advertisers? Who's going to be the person that, you know, individuals want to buy? But then who also is a quality interview? And they don't necessarily always go together. You know, so, you know, it's balancing that every month. But that's the only work part of the whole thing. The rest of it is just life, it seems like.
Yeah, I think the rest of us should have you pick some lottery numbers for us because you clearly have a someone watching over you. How many subscribers do you have to your magazine? And is it a paid subscription magazine or is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's $24.99 for 12 issues, and we publish every month. The 15th of every month, the new issue comes out this weekend. I'm real excited. And during Women's History Month, we always do our 25 women ruling that are ruling the world. And so that issue comes out this week. But yeah, we have right now a little over 13,000 subscribers, and I have to really credit social media for that because we had started the magazine, and I say we, me, myself, and I, in 2008. You know, it's six. Initially, it was me. Now I have people that work with me. But I mean, it was started in 2006 in April. You know, and we had probably 300 subscribers. And it was not enough to even cover the cost. So then we went just online. And so it was in 2010 when my social media, I was starting to get my feelings around and the word was getting out. And I said to my followers on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus, I said, hey, we're thinking about bringing the magazine back. And by this time I had a team of four, which I now have five, so we've grown one in this time. But there's five of us now. And I said, how many of you would be interested? And in the first 3 months at the end of 2010 going into 2011, we got 4,000 people to sign up.
Wow, incredible.
And so I went to, at that time, the Cherry Johnson, who a lot of people know from Punky Brewster, who played, you know, Punky's best friend. And I said to her, I was working with her on her book project, and I said, would you honor us of being on the cover? And she's like, Cyrus, yeah, be on the cover, you know. So she was on the cover of our issue when we reemerged, and we've been going back in print since then.
Wow, incredible. Absolutely incredible. And you have an advertising department. What sort of ads do you run? Is it industry based or is it just generic? Do you have ad agencies handle that? What's sort of your infrastructure?
You know, it's so well, you know, our team of two actually handle accounts payable and receivable, but they also help me with the ads too. And basically this is what we do. And this is just being very transparent here. Because like I said, it really is a very small group of us. It's only five of us. And you know, we kind of, you know, I'm the face of it because people, you know, I do the interviews. I do 90% of the interviews. And we do have contributing writers, that kind of thing. But 90% of them are conversations I've had. So typically what happens is it started off just, hey, do you have a book or do you have a CD you want to advertise with us, you know, at a really good price? I mean, it started off that way. And then, I mean, I never will forget, man, this is the craziest thing. I got an email from Geico. And I really thought it was spam. I honestly thought it was spam.
Wow.
And they said, you know, we've heard of this publication. Can you tell us a little bit more about it? And I'm like, okay, by this time we may have had maybe 8,000 that were subscribing. But I told them about the demographics and that kind of thing. And they said, we'll try you for 3 months.
Wow.
And
wow.
What was so crazy about, let me tell you how things worked out. When they started advertising, I had been booked to interview the Simmons girls. They had such a good time on the show. Their people, you know, reached out to me and said, hey, we saw you have a magazine. You know, how much are the ads? And they bought 3 months of the back issue of our magazine just based on the interview.
I believe it.
That opened up the door to now we've had Walmart that's an advertiser for the radio show. They haven't gotten into the magazine yet, but our national advertisers for the magazine have included Dove. We've had Geico, TracFone. I mean, because they see what we're doing and they see what we're building, and that has really been a big help. Now, we still are able to stay reasonable enough where we're able to get the indies, the indie authors, you know, and we charge them all the same thing. But, you know, my thing is, you know, be honest, and you guys can, you know, attest to this. There, you know, I still have to keep it true to me because conversations at the end of the day is about conversations I want to have and want to share. And we turn people down. If I think it's something that does not fit my own intent and my own mission, I say, you know what, I don't think we're a good fit for you. And we've turned money down for that. And some of the team have said, hey, you know what, it's money. Well, I'm like, yeah, but I don't want to be – because, I mean, then it becomes attaching my brand to it. And I think, you know what, I don't mind giving a platform on the radio show to let people be able to talk. But when you start advertising, you know, I'm bringing you too close into my family. And so, you know, I have made the decision not to let some things be a part of us. But I think at the end of the day, it really is about, again, trying to inspire people. And that's what, you know, we try to do. And I think advertisers see it.
I see that as well. Yeah, I can see that you really have an incredible model of first the radio show, and you said you reach about 3-4 states. Was it Mississippi, Alabama?
Well, yeah, well, we did, and now we're actually, my radio show is now heard in 29 cities right now. Just through the platform of Blog Talk, we average right at about 800,000 listeners a month through them, and then we're on a online affiliate out of Atlanta, 106 Live, and we're out of Texas on Centertainment Radio, and I just became the voice of a news outlet, Coastal Urban Radio Network, that reaches into 13 states. I do the news for them that includes a part of Conversations Live. So, yeah, it's been an amazing 12 years for sure, but, I mean, the first 3 years, I was only heard in Mississippi, well, outside of Mississippi, too, but I was only heard in that market, so it's steadily grown since then.
Incredible story. King, I know you find these people, but my friend, you've certainly hit a tremendous wealth of information here because this is just incredible to know. And like I said, most of us as callers and listeners and as regular participants in business, we don't hear these stories until opportunities are like this. And it's just so good to hear and to know that there are voices out there and platforms that are quite successful using the better models. So it's just incredible to hear that. I think that's wonderful. Fantastic.
Exactly, yeah. And I got to give credit to Willis because, you know, we talk about, you know, my thing is I'm in the business of relationship. And I understand the importance of relationships. And I believe I have a strategy for cultivating, nurturing, and leveraging relationships. But it's within that vein that this conversation or this show was created, and we were able to get Cyrus on the show. And what's important to note is the fact that, again, it goes back to a person following their dreams and following their plans.
Right.
And now through Blog Talk Radio, mediums like YouTube, you know, the average person can just get started. And if you're good, as Cyrus has shown us, if you're good and you have good content, it will grow.
Right.
It will grow. If you take it seriously and you prepare for it and you give it 100% effort, then your talent will show. But we no longer have to sit around and say, well, I can't get my platform started because I can't afford to get on primetime radio or primetime TV or into certain magazines that they may not let us in for a variety of reasons. We create our own. And
yeah,
that, to me, is really a testament of his show, our show, Carpe Diem, Living with Intent, his show, and then, of course, what you got going on, what you're doing, Charles, as well. But I think that at the end of the day, you know, we're all entrepreneurs, but we're entrepreneurs who see that we have a higher purpose for what we do. And through that higher purpose, we are impacting and affecting the lives of others.
Right. So true.
Yeah. But it's always nice to know someone who has that it factor. That it reads like from what Cyrus has told us, it's just phenomenal. And like I said, it's just everything aligned perfectly. And because,
right.
I mean, you know, Willis, you know, King, you know, we can count on all hands, toes, and fingers of those who have just struggled, who have fought tooth and nail. But once in a while, that one person comes along. And, you know, and the thing about it, Cyrus, I really appreciate it. You sound like a very calm, down-to-earth person, very sincere. And that's extremely, especially in the entertainment business. We all know that massive egos and tremendous, personal envisions of themselves are abundant. And it's just great to hear someone who is out there doing it right and very focused on the mission. And it's actually refreshing. So,
well, I appreciate it. You know, Charles, I do want to say I have to be there because I know it's not me. I mean, because like I said earlier, I mean, my story, if it was left up to me, there's no way this could have happened. I know it was something so much greater than me.
Which is
why I have the appreciation for it, you know, that I mentioned earlier, because, I mean, how does that happen? And the other thing is, I'm going into now 12 years now with this. No one ever asked me, well, where did you study? I've never been asked that question. You know, where did you go to school? You know, and
they assume.
Yeah, and the ironic thing is I get invited to go speak at colleges, and I'll, one of the first things I say is, you know, I probably couldn't even get in here. You know? I mean, but it's, you know, and I can laugh about it, and they laugh about it, but I'm being totally serious that, you know, it's, you know, and that's why I say, you know, I have no choice, and then, of course, I was raised right, but I have no choice but to, to realize that this is not about Cyrus, because if it was Cyrus, there's no way it would have happened.
Well, it's okay, because I often tell people, I say, you know, college is for the untalented. When you have a talent, the last place you should be in a classroom, and this is just really my point. It's just incredible. So, you know, I agree with you.
I like that.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a question, Cyrus, that I'm curious about. Now, when you're doing your interview, has it, and you've done your interviews over 12-year span of time, has there been one particular interview that you were, like, nervous, you were really nervous about, you were so looking forward to it, and it was just so much, it was different than other interviews, it was something that made you really just say, I'm prepared, but I'm just really nervous about the outcome. Has that interview exist for you, and who was the person that did it?
King, there's been so many, though. But if I had to pick one that ended up being a total surprise for me, and, you know, this is another person who is, you know, you guys are probably familiar with Michael Rooker, who got a lot of fame, at least the past few years because of The Walking Dead, but he's been in everything from Mississippi Burning and, you know, been in movies with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, he's been all over the place. His following is so massive. And when I got the green light to interview him when I was doing The Walking Dead cast, I was so nervous about that interview. And the thing that kept getting me was his people. It started off because I don't write questions out. I don't script it. Everything I do is a true conversation. I prep, but I don't write anything out. I hope I remember things I want to talk about, but then they'll say something, and I'll go in a totally different direction. But with him, I was so nervous. But let me just tell you how God worked things out. And I say God worked things out because he was scheduled to do the interview. His publicist had given me his cell phone number. Now, these people had never even worked with me before. But they had heard, because I'd interviewed some of the other cast, that I was at least not a killer. So they gave me his cell phone number. I call him. I said, Mr. Rooker, I'm calling for, you know, our interview. And this is a funny story. And he's even relayed this in his second visit on the show. But he says, who's this? And I said, this is Cyrus Webb, Conversations Live. He says, oh, he says, you know what? I forgot all about that. I'm on my way to the grocery store. Well, the good thing is we were taping the interview. And so he said, I'm on the way to the grocery store. Is there any way you can call me back in about 30 minutes? And I was like, okay. So that just kind of just really just calmed the whole thing out. But his people had told me, look, he's very busy. You have 15 minutes. So I go in. I said, you know, Mr. Rooker. He said, oh, call me Michael. And I said, okay, Michael. And I said, you know, your people told me, you know, 15 minutes. I said, I'm going to make sure we stick to that for you. So we start the interview, start the taping, and this is the funniest thing, because he starts talking. He says, how long do we have? And I said, we have as long as you want. Do you know we went an hour?
Wow.
And by the end of that conversation, he says to me, on the air, he says, you know, that's one of the best conversations I've had. Thank you. So he was thanking me. And it was the most, I hung up the phone and thought, what just happened? I mean, you know, and then I thought, too, with his people, man, they're going to kill me. So I sent an email to his publicist and said, hey, we went over with taping, you know, but, you know, I hope everything's okay. And they said, no, he wrote back. He thought it was great. Do you know, not only when the interview aired, not only did he tweet about it, he wrote a blog post on his website about the interview. And even had his people ask me about what he had to do to be in the magazine. And we ended up featuring him on the cover of our magazine last year.
Wow.
So that was, and he even promoted the magazine and the subscription on his website. I mean, it was, and the cover is still on his website. I mean, that was one of the most surreal things. But, you know, I've had many moments that are kind of the pinch me things. But that is one with him that just really stands out, because he didn't have to do that. I mean, he was so down to earth, and he gave some serious knowledge in that interview. I mean, it was so good. And he said, you know, I'm so glad you asked me that question. And that's when he was like, well, how long do we have? You know? And I was like, we have as long as you want to talk, I'm here. You know, but that's one thing. I mean, that interview just really showed me, because no matter how big we get or how big we think we are, you know, at the end of the day, we're all the same. And I think that's what he really showed me, that we're all, we go to the grocery store, you know. we all have stories to tell, and I think that's the whole key.
Incredible.
You know, I never would have guessed Merle would have had such a an impact. I'm Sam Merle. For those of our listening audience, that's his name. His character's name on The Walking Dead. Because his character is one that, you know, he typically plays those roles where if you're black, you don't like him. And it's roles you have, so you don't like him. You know, like you said with, I believe the movie he played with Samuel, Mississippi Burning, you didn't like his character, you wasn't supposed to. But he's such a great actor. He's a great character actor. You just share that story again. To me, I'm a lover of stories. That I realize at the end of the day, that's what, you know, that's what we remember. I was having a conversation with a good friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about where he used to work. And I brought up the fact that, you know, what's odd, what's funny is that when you talk about your work, you don't remember the actual work that you did. You don't think of yourself. I remember, because he was a radiologist. I said, you don't remember doing any of the radiologist work. What you remember is the people at your location and the stories and the energy and the time you spent with them. That's what you remember about your job that you like. And so everything comes down to the story, you know, and those stories are great. And, you know, that's what I tell folks, one of the best storybooks ever out there, and I'm not saying this to offend anyone, I'm just saying that it's a fact, one of the best storybooks out there is the Bible, you know, and that's why it's written in that format so we can repeat those stories. And see, this is a story that I'm going to look forward to sharing with someone else about Michael Rucker, because, again, if you ask the average person who might not know his name, but they definitely seen his face before, they would say, I don't like him. But then, you know, but him as a person, not as a character, him as a person has has had an impact interview and went above and beyond the interview time. And then, like you said, he promoted you on the site. So that's a wonderful story. Definitely thank you for sharing.
Oh, yeah. That's what I say, man. It's not me. I mean, I couldn't do it. You know, that's the thing. There's no way I could have done that. You know, and so, you know, that's why every day for me is so exciting, because I never know what's going to happen.
Absolutely.
Well, we're getting to the top of the hour. Willis, was there anything you wanted to ask Cyrus in particular?
You know what, King? I've really enjoyed this conversation. And, Charles, thank you for getting on. You definitely expanded the topic. And what I think, and the last thing I want to ask Cyrus is, how did you deal with the race card? I know it's a sensitive subject in our society today, but it's one that is relevant and, you know, one that's in our face every single day, and something that, you know, we all have to deal with and try to deal with it in the right light and in truth. How did you deal with that?
You know, this is going to sound crazy, and I'll keep it short, but I haven't had to. I tell people I was born at just the right time in this state. I'm the first black president of the Rankin County Arts Alliance, the largest arts alliance in the state of Mississippi. I was their first black president. You know, I, you know, went into these different platforms that I've been in, and to be just very transparent, 70% of our subscribers for the magazine are not black. So, I mean, you know, I've been very fortunate to make conversations universal, so that the ironic thing is I've never had to have a problem business-wise of trying to cross over, trying to bring others in the fold, or even to get their support. The support's already – and I think it goes back to what we were saying earlier, the authenticity. That's what people pick up on. You know, absolutely. That's why the show, I think, is so eclectic in the guests that we have. I mean, that's why the magazine's the same way. You know, I don't think of it as black stories, white stories. I just tell stories. I share conversations. And I think that's what's helped us with the success of not only the advertisers on the business side, but also on the people we've been able to profile.
Sure. Amazing. Thank you. Absolutely amazing.
I agree as well. I think that, you know, one thing I say about to that end is that if you talk about race in this country, you know, my background is IT, you know, and I grew up in the IT world, and I experienced for the first time that as I was coming up, it didn't matter to a certain extent the color of my skin. Can you solve the problem? Mm-hmm. If you can solve the problem, then I want to talk with you. You're the person for the job. And the only other thing I've seen that actually transcends race, color, gender, income status, any of those things is this, a person's values and principles. If we can connect on a values and principle level and we can be honest, like you said, and transparent, then true relationships can be built from that. And I think that's really, to me, is something that we need to learn from as a country. If you're going to be honest, you're going to be transparent, then I think that's when the real discussion actually starts.
Right.
King, if you don't mind, I just want to have one final question. You're probably going to ask it anyway. And like I said, you've been spot on with all the questions, but I have to ask one for my own personal edification. So what is next for Cyrus Webb? I have to know. What's the next step?
Well, actually, it's funny you should ask. And we're having this interview right now because this month I actually debut Conversation Pieces, which is my candle line. Candles are a big part of my artistic shows that I do, my poetry readings. Of course, we poets, we love candles. So I said, you know what? I'm going to create my own candle. So I first found somebody, I love to learn, who makes candles. And I was like, wow, that's great. Could you make them? Could you do it like this? Could you do this scent? And then finally I was like, can you just teach me? Because I can do this at home. I actually had them teach me. And so, even though most of them are being made, made somewhere else, I'm able to make some myself and to go through the process and learning. So that's the new thing. I have two more children's books that are coming out this month, Aubrey's World as well as Stendria's Big Dream. Real excited about those two. But it's just really about keeping it going, man, keeping, people talking about something, whether it's the radio, the television, the magazine, or now the candles, keeping them talking.
Well, as we used to say back in D.C., if I had your hand, I think I would turn mine in. I really applaud. I appreciate you answering my question, King. I'm sorry. I just had to get that one in because I want to kind of know what the next step was. And I appreciate hearing that. I really
great
do.
Question.
Thank you.
That's a great question. Well, we've reached the top of the hour, Cyrus. I want to give you the opportunity to please share with our listening audience all the contact information, how they can get in contact with you, subscribe to your magazine, follow your candle conversation pieces, purchase your candles, so anything that you'd like to share with our listening audience as far as contact information, please do.
Sure. Well, look, I want to thank the three of you. Thank you, King, Willis, and also Charles. Thank you for this opportunity. Really did enjoy the conversation. They can actually find me at www.conversationsmag.com. It's conversations with an S, mag.com. That'll take them to the magazine. My personal website is cyruswebpresents.com, and there they can find out about the candle line, all the great things that are coming up for us with the book. I'll be going on book tour in April. All that information is there. And on Facebook and Twitter, just Cyrus Webb is where they can find me.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for Cyrus for being on the show again. You've been a great guest. Thank you
for
Charles calling in. And thank you, Willis, for being on the show and being living with a Carpe Diem mantra. I'd like to thank our listeners.
My absolute
again
pleasure.
Listening to
thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you all as well. Thank you. Thank you, Cyrus. Thank you, King. Thank you, Willis.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you so much.
And
Charles.
Thank our listening audience. Until next Monday, this has been Carpe Diem, Living with Intent with King and Willis. And as our theme song says, now's the time for you to live your dreams, pursue your purpose, and find your fulfillment.